comes the sun. Here comes the sun. I say it's all right.
So is the answer to our energy needs in the sun? Or is it blowing in the wind? Or is it growing in the fields? Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, July the 3rd. We'll talk about the renewable energy revolution for the first part of this hour, and we will welcome your questions about what the future U.S. energy policy should look like. For our two guests, they are the authors of the new book, Green, Your Place in the New Energy Revolution. Jane Hoffman is an expert on consumer issues and domestic policy. She joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
And also joining us is Michael Hoffman, the managing director of Riverstone Holdings, LLC, where he manages the world's largest renewable energy fund. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
So starting with you, Jane, what is the message you're trying to get out with the book?
Well, now that we face a national energy crisis and experts say that energy supplies will not last past this century, we think renewable energy could really be part of the solution. And renewable energy could really be up to 20 or 30% of our energy mix.
And so?
And so we should really employ it in what we do. Renewable energy accounts for solar, geothermal, and most Americans don't really understand or what it is that renewable energy can do or how we can use it in our daily lives.
Yeah, well, no offense, but haven't we heard the alarm over fossil fuels and the need to use more renewable energy for decades now?
Well, we've heard it, but we haven't realized that most countries are using it in a way that works much more effectively than we have. And as Michael can speak to, you can hear about what Brazil has done that we haven't done.
Yeah, what has Brazil done, Michael, that we haven't
okay,
done?
Okay, well, let me just state at the beginning, the book that we co-wrote is basically a primer to help you understand what all these alternatives are. And there are a rich mix of things that we can do, from solar to wind to biofuels to solid waste, converting it into energy and other products. But when you speak about Brazil, it's probably one of the richest areas in the world for this kind of an opportunity. Brazil committed over 20 years ago to take their sugar cane and make ethanol out of it. And it turns out it is the most efficient way to make ethanol. And some of the things that Brazil did that we haven't tried to do yet are they figured out how to get the logistics to work properly. So you go to a gas station today in Brazil, and the pump has an alternative. You could take all ethanol or all gasoline at your option. Those pumps cost too much money to employ in the United States at this point without incentives, but they've got them in Brazil.
Yeah.
They've also got 97% of the cars in Brazil are flex fuel cars. These are made by people like General Motors and Ford, so you could clearly do that here, but again, the incentives haven't been there to do that, and the logistics haven't been there to do that.
Yeah. Well, we do have some gas stations offering ethanol in as an alternative energy, but corn ethanol in particular is getting somewhat of a backlash right now, isn't it?
It, for good reason. It's not as efficient as sugar, and the fact of the matter is, as an alternative to food alternative, it's more complicated than it might be otherwise. But there are new things coming up in the biofuels area. For example, there's a weed we grow in the high plains of Montana and Wyoming called camelina, and it's like canola oil, but it's grows like a weed, doesn't require any fertilizer, doesn't have any irrigation needs, and it can provide biodiesel. And it can provide it in a non-food way, because unlike canola, it smells, so you wouldn't put it into food. And there's Jatropha, and there are other alternatives. Corn happens to be a particularly bad one.
Yeah. So what needs to happen for us to have fuel our cars on weeds?
Well, the government needs to provide incentives to companies. Lobbyists need to sort of move out of the way. But if we could have flex fuel cars on the road and flex fuel pumps at our filling stations, imagine if we had all hybrids and all flex fuel cars. So when you went to a filling station, you could turn the dial and say, hey, today I want to have flex fuel oil about 80%. It's less than a dollar a gallon. I want to have 80% sugar-based ethanol, and I don't want to pay $4 a gallon. You could do that at a filling station. You can do it in Brazil. Why can't we do that in the United States? We would need to change some of our infrastructure, but why doesn't the government provide incentives so that people can do that, so that we change our system,
yeah,
so that we can have flex-fuel cars? GM and Ford make these cars.
There's a 54-cent tariff against Brazilian ethanol today. There are huge segments of the world that grow sugarcane. We don't do it as efficiently for a variety of reasons, but you could grow it in Africa, you grow it in the Caribbean, you grow it in India. There are plenty of places to grow sugarcane converted into fuel.
Yeah, so you're calling for importing sugarcane fuel, not so much growing our own fuel.
Well, growing our own is camelina. Mm-hmm. Growing our own, there are biomass alternatives as well. There are technologies now to convert solid waste, the garbage that you now throw out, and is difficult to put into landfills, to convert that into energy. There are lots of alternatives. Cellulosic ethanol is coming. It's not quite here yet, but it requires incentives and kind of a master plan, a Manhattan Project, if you will.
Right. When the United States has no national energy policy, we do small things in small ways, but part of energy security and energy independence requires a national energy policy. What we have now is a consumer policy. Everybody does little bits, which helps a lot. We all do our small part, but without a master plan, it isn't enough. And I know there are things that consumers can do which might be of interest.
Yeah, we will. Let me hold you there. We will talk about what consumers can do and also talk about what we need with our national energy policy as we continue talking with Jane and Michael Hoffman, co-authors of the book Green, Your Place in the New Energy Revolution. And we welcome your questions for them at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Maybe you already are getting some power from vegetable oil for your car, or maybe you are getting some power from the sun or the wind. Let us know. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's coming up on 19 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, July the 3rd. We're talking renewable energy this hour with the co-authors of Green, Your Place in the New Energy Revolution, Jane and Michael Hoffman, writing this book, a primer on renewable energy and your place in it, and also what other countries are doing that the U.S. should be doing to adopt more renewable energy. I wanted to talk, before we go to the phones, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about wind power. How important is wind power to our future energy needs?
Wind power is actually the largest, most accepted of the renewable energy technologies out there for power. And the good news is that it's getting bigger, more efficient, more scalable, and more competitive with traditional energy without needing any subsidies. But the one area that I think I find most compelling is solar. Strangely enough, the technology is changing faster there. It's where wind was 15 years ago. And with what they call feed-in tariffs in Europe, they're encouraging solar development to get it to the point where 4 years from now, it will be you will be able to see solar farms in California that compete with a gas-fired power plant to provide power to Southern California, which is a remarkable development.
Mm-hmm. Will solar power be able to do that for a place like Wisconsin?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. The cost now is prohibitively high, but with these feed-in tariffs that they've got in Europe, we're building a gigawatt of solar fields in places like Spain, Italy, and Greece, again, with government help. They've set high tariffs for people to build these plants. And each year that the producers of the solar panels build their their panels, the price per unit comes, the cost per unit comes down by about 25%. So you could see a place about 4 years out where there are producers of these panels who can produce power at $1 a watt, which is highly competitive for any place you talk about in Wisconsin or New York or Virginia. And that to me is probably a large part of our potential future over the next several years.
Mm-hmm. Let me take a caller on solar power, Albert in Milwaukee. Hi, Albert. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you. I hope you didn't cover, Ray. I missed that first question or first answer, but my basic question was that the last time I looked into solar energy, I was basically told that the cost, it wasn't worth it because of Wisconsin's cold winters and short days. You would never get your money back. It wasn't worth doing. I mean, how practical is that for the average consumer, and how far off are we talking?
It's a very good point. I think today, as we speak, it's still not as efficient. The next generation technology, when you go beyond silicon, what they call SIGS technology, they basically spray a series of inks on either a glass panel or a metal panel, and these plants are just now being built, but they can produce solar energy at a fraction of the cost of the existing panel manufacturers, and they can do it for places that are not as sunny as Southern California. And this is coming, but it's probably 4 years out before it makes practical sense on a utility scale basis for someone in Wisconsin. But it's coming.
Yeah, thanks, Albert. Rich in Hustisford is with us now. Hi, Rich. You're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to ask about that also, because I saw a show with they put four solar panels outside these people's house, and it was in Wisconsin. And they put the four solar panels and one small windmill on the house, and now these people sell their extra energy back to the grid. I don't understand why it couldn't be cost effective for everyone to have that, and we wouldn't have energy having to go to residential.
Again, you're right. If you've got an ability to do it at scale and sell it into the grid, it's getting more and more efficient. It depends on the technology of the solar panel. Some require more sun during the day than others. Some require not a lot of sun, quite frankly. But it's very much locational specific. It also has to do with whether or not you're getting a tax benefit from it. The tax benefits kind of come and go, and some states in particular have been big proponents of this. In the state of New Jersey, for example, they have which is not a heck of a lot more or less sunny than Wisconsin. They've got an incentive to put these solar panels, and they do on big Walmarts and Targets and the like. And Walmart sees it as not only a way of reducing its own cost, but of selling the power into the grid. So it's got to be at scale.
A lot depends on your location. So as with all renewable energy, it's really location-specific. And what the book does, you know, we're speaking a little bit scientifically here because your listeners are so sophisticated,
mm-hmm.
but the book makes it really easy. It's really kind of renewable energy for dummies. We're speaking at, you know, on a sort of a scientific basis, but the book really simplifies it in sort of a funny way.
Yeah, and it's something that I need for this discussion. But just before our weather break, Jane, you were mentioning what you know, consumers could do and maybe do today when it comes to adopting renewable energy. I mean, is it feasible today for me to somehow put up a solar panel and start with using more solar energy?
Well, it depends on where you live.
Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. But it depends on where in Wisconsin you live, how sunny your spot is, and how much you want to put in, what your upfront costs are, and what sort of tax credit is available at that time. But there are other things you can do. You could potentially buy a hybrid car. There are other things you can do to save in terms of your electricity bill. Televisions eat up 10% of your electricity bill. So if you're watching television in one room and someone else is watching television in another room, you might potentially think about that in terms of watching in the same room, right? If you mm-hmm. want to save mm-hmm. on the electricity portion, the TV portion of your electricity bill. You may want to also change your light bulbs, and it sort of sounds scientific here, but there's something called compact fluorescent lighting. usually people use incandescent bulbs.
Right.
And some people have heard about this. So you would use, I'm just going to call it CFL bulbs. But if everyone in the U.S. just changed to 5 CFL bulbs, that would be like taking 8 million cars off the road. And think about that in terms of not being dependent on foreign oil.
Yeah, a lot of us are a little bit concerned about the mercury that's in those bulbs.
Right. They're not easy if they break in terms of removing them. So I'm not saying change your whole house to CFL bulbs. But what about just 5?
Yeah. You know, the other thing I get from my utility company a notice every once in a while to sign up to pay a little bit more on my electric bill if I want to use more wind power. Is that a good idea, Michael?
Very interesting. We do fundraising around the world, and when I ask U.S. investors whether or not they're willing to pay $100 more a month for renewable energy, virtually nobody raises their hand. Mm-hmm. When I go to Europe, half the room raises their hand.
Mm-hmm.
This is cultural as well. We're used to having cheap power, both fuel and power. And in other parts of the world where they're already paying more, they're much more willing to see the environment affected in a better way, and they're willing to pay more. It's a cultural thing.
Yeah. Ken in Oshkosh is with us now. Hi, Ken.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Wisconsin Public Radio carries a program called Sci-Fry. I remember in 2 years, I believe it was 1999 and 2000, the first year they announced they had developed a fuel cell that could use the higher hydrocarbons, gasoline, kerosene. The next year, they announced that they had developed a fuel cell that could use diesel. Now, what happened to these fuel cells?
Yeah. Thanks, Ken. We're almost up to news time, so I'm going to Science Friday from National Public Radio, I think, is the program he's talking about. Michael, do you know much about these fuel cells?
Actually, any of these things that fuel cell in particular is kind of the kind of technology that the car companies have not embraced. That there hasn't been a huge demand for it, and it hasn't really gone anywhere. And again, it's not that there isn't technology out there that can be used, but unless you get it produced by utilities or accepted by car companies, it kind of sits on the scientist shelf, unfortunately.
Yeah.
If you think about it, why would a car company embrace that necessarily?
Yeah. So, should in our final minute, Jane, maybe a quick one from you on what kind of things do we need in our U.S. energy policy?
We need to establish a U.S. energy policy, and now is a perfect time because otherwise, it's a missed opportunity. We have two candidates running for office, and it doesn't matter what your political affiliation is, doesn't matter what party you're in, but you can insist from your political candidates to put together an energy policy. And it's not just, energy security, energy independence. Let's have some hard facts and some real stories about what they would actually do.
Yeah. And in the final 30 seconds, is nuclear power a part of that, Michael?
It should be. I mean, nuclear power is great from a CO2 standpoint. Again, the cost of building a nuclear plant and the time to build and the not-in-my-backyard problems mean that it's been very difficult to site in the United States. In China, they're siting them all over the place. We need a more aggressive, incentivized-based nuclear policy.
Yeah.
That's part and parcel.
We'll read more about it in Green, Your Place in the New Energy Revolution, thanks to our guests. So, did you hear the one about Brett Favre, that he has the itch to play football again? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 6:36 on this Thursday, July the 3rd, and we'll talk about the rumor during this half hour, and wonder if you want Brett Favre to return to the Green Bay Packers or whether you want the Packers to move on without him. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890. You can also send an email to talk@wpr.org. ESPN reported yesterday afternoon that Brett Favre is considering coming out of retirement and playing again. Cornerback Al Harris said that Favre told him he has the itch. And other sources say Favre has been in contact with Coach Mike McCarthy in the past 2 weeks. But as we just heard in Wisconsin Public Radio news, Brett Favre is dismissing the speculation. Favre told a Mississippi newspaper website, "It's all rumor. But what a rumor it is. Joining us to talk about the story is Patty Murray, our Wisconsin Public Radio reporter in Green Bay. Good morning, Patty.
Morning, Joy.
What a rumor, huh? I mean, everybody's buzzing about this.
Well, part of me thinks it's July and it's traditionally kind of a slow news time. Mm-hmm. So maybe that has something to play into it.
Maybe, but it's in part, cornerback Al Harris said, yeah, he was told specifically that, Favre told him personally, I have the itch to play.
And, you know, it's happened before. We all remember the late Reggie White. He retired, and he sure did come back, and he played another season.
Yeah. Is that enough for everybody that Favre says, he just tells a website it's rumor?
Oh, boy, Joy, if I knew that. it's very interesting. We hear all this, he's got the itch to come back, but then I remember back to March when he announced his retirement, and he had this news conference at Lambeau Field, and it was just so emotional. He said all good things must come to an end, and he talked about what an honor it's been to play at the Packers, and to be associated with names like Bart Starr, Ray Nitschke, Vince Lombardi, and he said it just got harder, to live up to being Brett Favre all the time, and it got harder every year, and he said he didn't think it was going to get any easier, and he said that's why he was announcing his retirement. And, when you hear a report from ESPN that he wants to come back, well, maybe he does want to come back. I think the big question is, do the Packers want him back?
Right. In fact, I was looking on the Green Bay Press Gazette website this morning, and it looks as though the Green Bay Packers are the ones who are rebuffing Favre's, feelings that he wants to come back.
Yeah, and conveniently, Ted Thompson, the general manager, and Mike McCarthy, the coach, are both on vacation this week, so the Packers really basically are saying no comment to this report.
The article says that the Packers are reluctant to take Favre back for several reasons. They're concerned how it would affect Aaron Rodgers, Favre's replacement, and they have already gone through an entire offseason preparing Rodgers, and they've adjusted the offense to suit Rodgers' strengths. So it looks like the Packers are, really don't want him to come back.
Well, I think, at some point you've just got to, it was March when he announced his retirement, so in the season, the preseason games are just, a little over a month away, and at some point you've just got to say, we're going forward, we've just got to do what we're going to do, and we've got to go with the plan. It's got to be tough to be Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, well, Aaron Rodgers is making headlines of his own in the sports world anyway. I guess he told Sports Illustrated that, the fans can either get on board with him or shut up.
Well, I guess he'll prove himself come football season.
Yeah. Do you think, is it your sense, Patty, and I know there are fans of the Green Bay Packers all over the state of Wisconsin and the country for that matter, but they're in northeastern Wisconsin in Green Bay. Do you have a sense that the fans want Brett Favre to return or not?
That's really hard to say, Joy, because I think there's a great love for Brett Favre in this town, and I'll live to see the day when streets will be named after him and all that good stuff. But I think there's a sense that you just got to move on. He's been with the team. He had been 16 seasons with the team, 275 games. He had like the most. He set all sorts of records, and they had a really great season this year. They almost went all the way. But I think at some point, it is kind of a young person's game, and you hate to say at the age of 38 that he's old or kind of long in the tooth. But, at some point you got to hand it off. You got to, pass the ball.
Yeah. Well, good pun. Victor in Milwaukee joins us. Hi, Victor. I thought you'd be interested in this topic.
Oh, you baited me very well, Joy. good morning to your guest. I'm going to be a standout in this. I don't want him to come back, and I would like to see the Packers grow as a team and move on. He had his heyday, but be fair to Aaron Rodgers. Allow him to grow and prove himself. And if anything, Brett Favre, the best asset he can be is he could be an advisor to Aaron Rodgers, but I don't look forward to him coming back. Often, we got greats like Muhammad Ali and Michael Jordan, and you also got Brett Favre. They just seem like they don't want to let the game go, and oftentimes when they come back, they look real bad. You know, of course, like your guest said, this is a young man's game, and their prowess won't be the same, so he's going to make himself look bad.
Oh, really, really, Victor, you think that that Brett Favre doesn't have one more good year in him?
He may have, but again, you know, make room for Aaron Rodgers. A lot of Green Bay Packers to grow. I'm not really a Packer fan. I'm just a general football fan. I can watch any team play. But, you know, in fairness to Aaron Rodgers, allow him to grow and move on and let the team move on. You know, they configured the offense around Aaron Rodgers. You know, let's be fair to him. Let him grow and let him prove himself.
Yeah. Patty, any thoughts on that?
I think Victor put it really well, and I do think that's the way a lot of people are feeling. You know, we've had several months to kind of go through the grieving process when Favre announced his retirement in March, and here we are in July, and all of a sudden he's going to come back in a few weeks and be up to playing speed and be ready to take this team to a championship.
I know that rumors started, though, back. There was some sort of charity golf outing or something that was supposed to be during a training camp, and Favre canceled his appearance at that golf tournament, and that started it all up. Ooh, does he want to return to training camp?
Yeah, it just seems like, I mean, at the news conference in March, and I was in the room, and he just seemed really tired. You just got the sense that he was just tired, and he had hosted a charity softball tournament up here for years, and Donald Driver kind of took that mantle over. Mm-hmm. And he just said he just wanted to... I don't know if he said it in so many words, but it sounded like he just wanted to rest. And I think, I mean, obviously, you know, not a pro sports player and don't know any personally, but it's got to be such an ego rush, and it's got to be hard to give that up. And, yeah, maybe he does have the itch... So, you know, quote unquote, to return. But I guess it's just scratching that itch is the question.
Yeah. Well, we're going to check the weather forecast and then we'll continue talking to Patty about this story that Brett Favre has the itch to return to football. The Packers have no official comment. Brett Favre is saying, hey, this is all rumor. But some are also saying that Brett Favre was rebuffed by the Packers and wants to be released. So maybe he wants to return to a different team if the Packers don't want him. We'll talk some about that, too. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Do you want Brett Favre to return to the Green Bay Packers, or do you want the Packers to move on without him? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up after 7 o'clock, General Wesley Clark says that Senator John McCain doesn't have the right military experience to be president, or more specifically, he says that his military experience is not a qualification for president. We'll talk about the flap over Clark's remarks coming up after 7 o'clock. Right now, we're talking about football. We're talking about Brett Favre and the speculation that he wants to return to the Green Bay Packers. Do you want Brett Favre to return to the Green Bay Packers or not? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. An NFL source told the Wisconsin State Journal yesterday afternoon that Favre, or agent James Cook on his behalf, contacted the Packers within the past few weeks about returning, and then the conversation ended in him asking the club for his release. The Packers refused. ESPN had reported earlier in the day that Favre has an itch to come out of retirement and report to training camp with the Packers. Packers have no comment on this. Brett Favre told a Mississippi website that all this is all rumor, but it's not going away, apparently. What do you think? What questions do you have? What's your reaction? Do you want Brett Favre to return to the Packers? Do you want the Packers to cut him loose? What if Brett Favre went to play for another team? Would that be okay with you? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We are joined by Patty Murray, our reporter in northeastern Wisconsin, based in Green Bay, talking about this story and all the reaction to it. And our next caller is Tom in Burlington. Hi, Tom. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
I live in a solar house, by the way.
Well, good for you.
This idea that the Packers have not released him yet, I wasn't aware of that. But so maybe they're playing this game where they want more money. I don't know whether they're how serious they are or not. But I cried when Brett Favre made his speech. I sat there and cried my eyes out, because he was such a part of your life for so many, many years, and you root for him so hard. And then I was saying to myself, well, all my tears might go to waste. But I think they should, for Mr. Rogers, they should stick with one man and go with him and give him all the support he needs. But I'd like to point out two quick things. Last year when they played, when the Packers played New York, the New York people came, and they were dressed to play in zero weather. The Packers said, no, we don't need long sleeve shirts. And they played in zero weather, dressed to play in 75 degree weather. And what happens when you play in the cold, you get dehydrated and then you cramp. And it was one of the biggest factors in why they lost the game. They simply were not dressed properly.
All right. Well, you know what? I don't know if we're experts on that, Patty, but
I think I would imagine the Packers, you know, at this point, kind of know how to play in cold weather, but the caller might have a point.
Yeah, but what about, Tom was one who was, he cried at that press conference.
Oh my gosh, yeah. We all were. It was tough to watch. Mm-hmm. You know, it was very touching. Yeah. And the thought of Brett Favre going to play for some other team, it just almost sounds sacrilegious.
Yeah, I mean, that I don't know if you know either, Patty, but this is, according to this report, that the conversation that he had, Brett Favre, with the Packers within the past few weeks ended in him asking the club for his release. Why would he have to be released if he retired?
I would imagine there's some sort of contractual technicalities there. And it just seems to me that it's kind of almost like watching, you know, a tough breakup between, you know, some of your best couple friends, so to speak.
Right, right.
And you just kind of wish that they could just come to an agreement, and maybe they could find some sort of position for Brett Favre in the team, that he could still have some sort of official relationship with the team. He could have some sort of ambassadorial or coaching position, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Tom, for the call. John in Madison is with us. Hi, John.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
I don't know who this woman is you're speaking with.
She's our reporter based in Green Bay.
Okay.
Patty Murray.
Okay. She doesn't seem to know.
We're just getting fan reaction, John,
right.
So what's your reaction?
Of course he should come back. He's Brett Favre. He's our Brett Favre. I mean, he has to come back. I mean, if he's going to come back, he's coming back to us. And we want him back, no doubt about it. I mean, a true Packer, Brett Favre fan, wants him back. No questions asked. Aaron Rodgers is not Brett Favre. He'll never be Brett Favre. We'll be lucky if he lasts the game without getting hurt.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, Joy, the caller is right. I mean, I'm not an official sports reporter. I'm a general assignment reporter, normally focusing on business, politics, that sort of thing. And, yeah, Aaron Rodgers isn't Brett Favre. Yeah, I mean, his name is Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, and Patty, you're not saying, you're not expressing your opinion that Brett Favre should or should not come back.
No, right? I really don't have an opinion.
Yeah, right, exactly. I mean, how are the TV stations and the newspapers and others treating this story this morning?
I've only had time this morning to give a kind of quick glance at the Green Bay Press Gazette website and a lot of comments on there, it all seems kind of split. A lot of people feel like the caller that, yeah, yeah, bring him back. We'll take him back, sure. And then other people are like Victor, where they're like, you know, give the next guy a chance.
Right. And that's what we are doing for the next few minutes, wondering what you think. Whether you want Brett Favre to come back or if you want Aaron Rodgers to be the next quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. We're talking about this story that broke on ESPN yesterday afternoon, that Brett Favre has the itch to play again, and that he reportedly has been in contact with the Green Bay Packers within the last couple of weeks, inquiring about returning to the Green Bay Packers. Do you want him to? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We don't often talk sports on this program or on Wisconsin Public Radio in general, but the Packers are more than just sports, aren't they? They're a part of the history, they're legendary, they're a part of our culture. And I know many of you are big fans. So we thought you wanted to talk about this. So far, there we go. There the lines have all filled. Tom and Wassa, hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, yes, we'd definitely love to have Brett Favre back. But like his speech was the other day, I think the reason he can't be released from the Packers is he has a no-compete clause. He couldn't be released unless the Packers wanted to release him. But yes, we'd love to have him back.
Yeah. Thanks very much. Thanks for the no compete. But I still don't understand. I guess no compete for a while. But he retired. So, Peggy in Rice Lake is next. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. We love Brett Favre, but he's retired. He should stay retired, and it would be just crushing to us if he were or played for anybody else. I think that would be horrifying. And he had a great, great season, and he needs to be done because of his age. And Aaron Rodgers needs to be nicer to the fans. He doesn't tell us to shut up. I think that's really rude.
So, Patty, there we're getting some, different reaction.
Yeah. And Joy, I just did want to mention real quick that, you were mentioning how it's more than just football. And Brett Favre and his wife, Deanna, were a really big part of the community. A lot of charitable work they did with his Forward Foundation and that sort of thing. So, it is more than just football.
Yeah. Steve in Wapaka is with us next. Hi, Steve. You're on the air.
Hi. Packers should definitely take him back if he wants to come back. As much as he's given the Packers, they definitely owe him. And why would you want an unproven guy over Brett Favre, a legend? And Aaron Rodgers is going to be around. What's the big deal if he waits one more year to play? And if Ted Thompson won't take Brett back, Ted Thompson should be gone.
Yeah.
Well, I just think, at some point, Brett Favre was an unproven commodity as well, so...
Yeah. It was in one of the papers this morning that that Ted Thompson did go and see Favre not too long ago, and I think that might have started some of the rumors, and the report also said that Brett Favre would have been a second returned if the Packers would have or would not have retired had the Packers given him some indication that they wanted him to stay. Is that right, that the Packers really didn't encourage Brett to stay with them another year rather than retire?
Yeah, I don't have any sources inside Lambeau Field who would give me any insight on that. But it does seem, there's some machinations that the public is probably never going to be fully aware of.
Yeah, Dan in Burlington, hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Yeah, I just want to comment. They had such a great season last year. Just from a winning perspective, they came so close and had such a great team that it would be good for the Packers in general to make it to the playoffs again with Brett. I think it's their best chance. So, and besides the point of everyone loves Brett, it's the coming of the second Messiah, so...
All right. Thanks very much, Dan. Well, we did roust up lots of callers and differing opinions on the Brett Favre story. Patty, I want to thank you very much for taking time to talk with us.
Oh, you're welcome, Joy.
Patty Murray, our reporter based in Green Bay, talking with us about the report that Brett Favre has the itch to return to the Green Bay Packers, that he wants to come out of retirement. We'll stay tuned. Thanks to Rob Ferret, Karen Prager, and Cynthia Schuster, and Carmen Jackson, who all helped produce this hour. Thank you for listening and for calling in. I hope you will stay tuned. There's much more to come, and I also hope you will join us tomorrow morning at this time. It is the 4th of July, but we will be here providing a live talk show for you, even though it's a holiday. We'll talk about fireworks in our first hour tomorrow morning, talking with a guest who says that consumers should not buy fireworks. You and I should not buy fireworks, and there should be laws against it. We'll wonder what you think about that tomorrow morning at this time. If you'd like a CD copy of this or any of our talk shows, call the radio store, 1-800-747-7444. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.